And I'd like to encourage the rest of you to find a Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, to another one of the kingdom parables, as we look at what our Lord had to teach to us. Matthew 20, and our reading begins at verse 1. This is God's word for us today. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, and if you look down in footnotes maybe, you'll see that it says a denarius was a normal daily wage for a laborer for the day, and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. And he went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. And about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And there we will end our reading of God's word today. Back in my college years, I was very blessed when a friend from my home church in Chicago came and said to me, "Come to the cold steel mill plant where I work in Harvey, Illinois. You can get a summer job there." And it was a great job for me to have back in those days. And after I'd been working there a couple of weeks, the plant supervisor actually came up to me one morning while I was working. He says, "How do you feel about heights?" I said, "I'm okay with that." He says, "Well," he says, "we have these cranes that run on rails along the top up here." He says, "I'd like you to train to be a crane operator." I thought, "Well, that sounds really cool." And I thought it was a whole lot cleaner than the dirty laborer job that I had had for 2 weeks, because I'd come home just filthy every day after the job I was doing. I thought, sure, let's do that. There were two things about that which I had not anticipated. Number one was that in that factory, everybody who worked there was paid by the classification of the job that you had, which had nothing to do with how long you had worked there or who you were or anything. And so when I went from being a laborer at a class 3 job to being a crane operator at a class 9 job, I got a very significant increase in payment, which for me as a college kid was just like so cool, you know, just wonderful. The other thing which I had not anticipated, maybe being too naive, was that there were a lot of workers in that factory who had been there 10, 15 years or something like that, who were still in class 3 kinds of jobs. And what I hadn't anticipated was the kind of backlash I might get from some of them. And it didn't take too long before they began to show their disdain for that college boy. They didn't like it. They didn't think it was fair that I got that cushy job and they had to work so much harder all the time. Now I think about that, and I question, does stuff like that ever happen in the church? I mean, do we ever get kind of jealous of other people? Do we ever get protective of our turf or something like that, and maybe sometimes have some of those feelings against other people that are antagonistic? And we would say, oh, surely not in the church, right? Because we're all really nice to each other all the time. And some of you are chuckling a little bit because you know that some of that stuff happens, and unfortunately so. But the lesson of the parable that we're looking at today is that when we are thinking about the kingdom of God and our inclusion in it, that we are a people who within the kingdom all receive equal pay. Okay? And we'll talk about what that means for us today. But really, the story is this, that it's all about grace. And that whether we come early to the kingdom or late to the kingdom, whether we are doing great and marvelous things and putting in hours and hours or not so much, that we are all friends of Jesus and that we all receive the same grace. And that's something that's so different about the kingdom from almost everything else we experience in life that it's kind of revolutionary for us. But we need to see this and to understand it and be ready today to receive the grace that God has for us. So as we look at the story, it's kind of interesting. You know, we noted last week that it was a question of Peter that prompted the parable. That's actually true in this parable as well. And if you have your Bible open, you can look back into chapter 19, verse 27, where Jesus has been talking about who gets into the kingdom and how hard it is for some and so on. And Peter then says this, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And in that question, or at least maybe between the lines, you can read something about what Peter is thinking at this point. Like, you know, we've given our whole lives to following you, Jesus, and so it seems like there really ought to be some greater reward for us. And it seems like he's maybe pushing Jesus a little bit on that, thinking, some of those other people are not as committed as we. They have not put in their whole lives to following you, Jesus, and we ought to deserve something more. Good question for us to think about. I know I've read sometimes that some people have these theories that there will be all these kind of levels in both hell, but also in heaven, and that the people who sin worst are going to get the worst stuff down in hell, and the people who are the greatest, you know, like Billy Graham's going to get some kind of mansion, or has already some kind of mansion in heaven, and, you know, we'll just get a nice cottage in heaven, because I've heard all these things, and I'm not sure that there's much biblical support for any of those kinds of perspectives. Because what we find is that God's grace is the same for all of us. And it doesn't really matter who we are or what we've done. It matters only that we have believed in Jesus Christ and that we have entered into the kingdom. And when we are in the kingdom, God will bless us in the ways that he chooses. So Jesus responds to this question of Peter with the story of the workers in the vineyard. Now, like a lot of other agricultural things, vineyard, we could let Carol talk for a while here today, right? No, you correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But vineyards, we've been watching Carol and Brian for a few years now, and we recognize that there are times of the year that are much busier than other times. And we have learned from Carol that this fall harvest time is the most busy, correct? Correct, okay. Because then sometimes we don't even see her on Sunday for a while or something because they're so wrapped up in the harvest. But here's the thing, you know, there are some aspects of life that we can say, well, I'll do that next week. But what happens, Carol, if you just say, oh, let's pick the grapes next month? There won't be much left. It's like it has to be done now. So in this story, we read about a vineyard owner who is trying to get this harvest done, and there's that urgency to get this accomplished. And in those days, it was actually not an uncommon thing. It was really the way that people would get hired to do this, that you would go, if you were looking for work, you would go and stand at the city gate or in the city square or someplace where people congregated. And I don't think you hung a sign on your side on yourself that said "need work" or "will work for food" or anything like that. You just showed up. It was the way it was done. And these were not people who were homeless, jobless, whatever. This was just the way that laborers got hired. You would get hired for a day. You'd come back again tomorrow, and you'd stand there again and wait to be hired, and you might be doing something entirely different tomorrow. It was just the way that they did it. And so at 6 o'clock in the morning, this vineyard owner comes out to that market area, and he looks at the guy standing around and said, you, go and work in my field. And they set the wage for the day, and they go out to do that. 9 o'clock comes, and I don't know whether he's getting kind of urgent, anxious about getting this crop harvested or not, but he goes back to the marketplace, and there are more people standing there. He says, "You guys go and work in my field too." And at noon, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and finally at 5, he goes one more time. And their quitting time was 6 o'clock for everybody. That's when the day ended at that time. 5 o'clock, he found some more, and he sent them also into his vineyard. Now, I always like to kind of logically think through things, and maybe I overprocess some stuff, but I look at this story and I think, okay, there's some problems here in the way this happened. Number one, what's the stuff with finding people all through the day? Thinking, why didn't he just hire everybody he needed at 6 o'clock in the morning? Good question? Sure. Why is it that these guys are still there as the hours of the day begin to tick past? And so, you know, my mind starts to think, well, some of them may be kind of lazy. There were others who were anxious about getting out there, and they were there at 6 o'clock in the morning to make sure they got hired for the best jobs. And some of the others maybe slept in till noon and didn't show up till later. And I could ask all these questions, and I can't get answers. I don't know. What's this really all about? But what I do know is that when this man came at 5 o'clock, he said to those people, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" And their answer was very simple but very honest: "Because no one has hired us." Now, I need to keep kind of inserting in this. This is a kingdom story. We recognize as we look at people around us that there are some of us who, from our earliest childhood, have remembrances of being in Sunday school classes, of parents who prayed with us and for us and who led us into the kingdom. But there are others of us who, much later in life, have come to some of that realization. You're some of those who got hired at noon, at 3 o'clock, at 5 o'clock. And we might ask, so why have you been standing around all the time, not in the kingdom? And you might say, because nobody invited us. Well, it's as simple as that. But all those questions, in a sense, I would say, as I look at this story, are worthless for me to ask, because the whole thing is Jesus set up to get to that point where he's talking about the payout at the end of the day. And that, I believe, is the really important lesson of this parable for us, to look at how the people get paid. So we turn toward the end of the story, and as we get into there, we discover that the vineyard owner decides to pay the last workers first, and guess what they get paid? A day's wage. Yeah, for how many hours of work? Just 1 hour. Let's make sure we got that clear in our heads. So they get paid a day's wage for 1 hour of work. Well, those guys who got hired at 6 o'clock in the morning are watching this because they're all standing in line waiting to get paid for their day of work. And they're thinking, okay, they got a whole day's wage for just 1 hour. I worked like 12 hours. So I'd like to get 12 days wages or something if he gets 1 day's wages for 1 hour. And what we read in the passage is that they grumbled. Interesting, just to try to do a little more study into it, I came to understand that the actual form of the Greek word about them grumbling is actually a continuing kind of verb. In other words, they wouldn't keep their mouths shut. They just kept on complaining about this thing and kept on saying, I think I need more. I don't know if they were talking to the vineyard owner or if they were talking to each other, but they kept on grumbling. And you listen to some of their complaint. It seems like a valid complaint. You know, we have been here all day. Our backs hurt from carrying all these baskets of grapes, and we've been carrying the load all day long and through the heat of the day. And you have made them equal to us. And I think about these people at that point. And I come back again to ask, okay, so this is a kingdom parable. And what does Jesus want us to see? And what he wants us to remember is that he has indeed made us all equal. And that's not a wrong thing. That's a good thing. I'm rejoicing in that. Aren't you rejoicing in that too, that he sees us all as equal in the kingdom? This is a good thing. But I want to turn and look at the words that he spoke. We got a couple of things, like he says to these guys, you know, you agreed to work for a denarius, a day's wage, so, you know, that's good. You got exactly what you agreed to be paid for the day. But I like his words that he speaks in here. We read in here such things as, verse 14, I want to give. And in verse 15, he self-describes himself as generous. And these are pictures of who God is and how he relates to us. And this is a wonderful, beautiful, but this needs to be the powerful thing in this passage. That God comes and says, this is what I want to do. It's not about what we deserve because, oh goodness, we've been talking about that through this whole series on the kingdom. God doesn't give us what we deserve because we don't want what we deserve. But God gives us what he wants to give us. And it is a part of the character, the very nature of who God is to be generous. And that, again, for us is a description and a definition of what grace is all about. We receive what we do not deserve. And it was the generous nature of this landowner to say, you know, I look at these other guys. No, they didn't work all day, but they were day laborers. And he says, I know in my own heart that if they don't get paid for a whole day's wages, they can't feed their family tomorrow. I mean, it's just the way it was. What you earned today was to support the family tomorrow. And then you work the next day to support the family the next day. And he's saying, I see that need, and I recognize that they need as much as the ones who worked all day long. And so he says, I want to do this. And I have the capacity to do this, so I will give equal payment to everybody. I think this is such an incredible blessing for us as we think about the kingdom of our Lord, that God looks at all of us and he says, I don't care if you came late into faith. I don't care if you worked your butt off and the others didn't. I don't really care about those things. Here's the thing that matters. I want to give. And I am by nature a generous God. And I want to do what will bless your life. The kingdom is really different from the world around us. This is how God responds to us. Now, there's some things about that I would like to have you consider with me as we look at the passage that tell us a little bit about the kingdom and how this works for us. Number one, this is God's business, okay? It's not our business, so it's not like we get to run things, that we get to demand, this is what I ought to get back for what I've done or anything like that. It's about God and what he's doing and doing what he wants to accomplish in our lives. Number two, we are called to be workers in the kingdom and not observers. We can't just sit back and say, okay, God, do your thing. He says, work with me on this. I'm sometimes baffled when I talk with some people, and I'm not looking at anybody here, but I've talked with some people sometimes who have gotten fired from jobs. And they said, you know, I don't really get this. Well, anybody else gets it because they spend day after day calling in sick. They don't show up. They get to work and they get asked to do something which they think is below their level and they don't want to do it. And then they wonder, why would I get fired? Well, because you're not doing what you're there to do. And when Jesus invites us into the kingdom, he doesn't expect us to be people who will sit back and just watch everything else going on, nor does he expect us to be grumbling about what we have to do for him. But he wants us to be ready to kick in and to say, I want to do what brings glory to the Lord. I want to make a difference for his sake. And then the good news for us as we think about that is that he continues to equip us with everything we need to accomplish that. He gives us the character by the fruit of the Spirit that we see described in Galatians chapter 5. He gives us gifts, abilities, so that we can do the work of the kingdom, things that we in and of ourselves maybe are not equipped to do, that he enables within us by the gifts of his Holy Spirit. And so God continues to do his work in our lives. Number three, our work in the kingdom is not done to get a reward. Just so you all know that, what you do, even those of us who stood up this morning as teachers and leaders, you're not doing this to get a reward because we already have our reward. Our reward is fellowship with God. Our reward is knowing that we will be in the heavenly kingdom when this life here ends. We have great reward already, and we're not doing this to get more reward. We already have what we are to receive. Number four, exactly what we do in the kingdom and for the things about how long we've done it, that's not as important as our attitude in doing it. And so if you just start out in doing the work of the kingdom, if you are new to the kingdom, it doesn't mean that you get less back from God. Because what we do doesn't earn us something. What we do is not this thing that's going to propel us to a new place. We've already received the reward, and we just do what we can with what we have. I think about the story that we read in the Gospels of the day when Jesus and the disciples were sitting near the temple gate, and people were coming in and dropping their offerings at the gateway there of the temple. And they had these metal bins, from what we're told about that you could actually hear the coins, because they didn't have dollar bills in those days. It was all coinage of some kind. You could hear the coins falling into that bin. And when the wealthy people would come in, they would drop some big coins that would go clunk, clunk down into that bin. But this poor lady came in and she dropped her pennies into it and they went clink, clink, clink. And Jesus said, you know, she gave more than anybody else. And the rest of them go, wait a minute, she dropped pennies in. They dropped big things in. And he said, no, she gave everything she had. And I think that's so critical for us as we think about our lives giving back to the Lord, that we don't hold anything back. We give everything we have. We say, Lord, I am yours. Just let me do what you want me to do, and let me be your blessing in the world today. Number five, the day is not yet over, and we have more that we can do. Okay? Just to be said. Number six, God gives according to his grace. So every one of us, as we are following the Lord, receive what God wants to give us. Again, remember, he said, I want to do this. I'm a generous God, and God gives us what he chooses, which is kind of hard for us sometimes because sometimes we think, I deserve more. Remember the workers who came at 6 o'clock in the morning? But this is God saying, no, I'm going to give you what I choose to give to you. And whatever we receive is just an amazing gift of grace because what we realize is that none of us receives anything that we deserve. We are given so much more by God's grace. So sometimes maybe we sit back and we start to look at other people around us and we start to think, well, that one deserves more of God's gifts than that one does, and we do some of these things. But I just want to give you one case in point and ask you, how would you judge this one? There's a man who was once a persecutor of the church. In fact, he was responsible for the deaths of many Christians. Later in life, he himself became a Christian and an evangelist. How would you rate him and what he ought to be paid for his service in the kingdom? Now, a lot of you know who I'm talking about. His name was Paul. You see how hard it is for us to make those decisions about what somebody ought to receive from God? So let's not even go there. Let's leave that to God to give what he chooses to give. No matter who we are, no matter how late we come to the kingdom, no matter how big our service or how small, we are all equal in the kingdom. Paul, just side comment on him. After talking about some of these kinds of things, Paul actually said of himself, I'm the least of the apostles. I deserve nothing from Jesus. That's who we are too. The least. We deserve nothing, but God gives because he is gracious. Number seven, verse 13, we find, and I love this little thing. You miss it if you just read through this very quickly. But in verse 13, when this grumbler comes up to the landowner says to him, friend. And here's the thing which is reassuring for all of us as well. That sometimes we're grumbling against God and we're thinking we've not been treated with the fairness that we believe we deserve and all those kinds of things, and we can get into some of those attitudes once in a while. And Jesus doesn't come and just say, get out of here. I don't want to see you again. He comes and puts his arm around our shoulder and says, friend, let me tell you some things. You agreed to work for a day's wage. Friend, you did your work, and I'm really happy with that. You're still my friend. And he still is ready to show his grace, even to somebody who grumbles. Which doesn't mean I'm just encouraging y'all to be grumblers here, okay? It's not what this is about. But what it's saying is that whoever we are when we are in the kingdom, we receive the blessings, and we can celebrate in that. John Calvin, in his comments, says, the one aim of Jesus here is this, to continually incite his people to keep on going. And then he went on in there to quote from Philippians 3, Paul's statement, that we forget what lies behind, and we press on to what still remains. And so we need that encouragement from him at some times to keep on going. There are practical ways in life in which I could illustrate that. You know, a lot of you know that this summer my project at our house has been to re-side our house and started ordering stuff the 1st of March, and I started working on it sometime in May. And guess what? I'm not done yet. And we're not sure we're going to be done before winter comes, but we've come a long ways. But I get encouragement in this way. I see that people come and help me sometimes. I see that we are like 75% of the way, and if I get weary of looking at the wall where I'm working, I just go around the corner and look at the wall that's done. That's good. And I'm encouraged to press on with it. And I want you to know that if you are engaged in the work of the kingdom, sometimes it gets wearying as well. And when you look at the place where you are, you sometimes may think, I'm not accomplishing anything. And we don't know what to do about that. But receive this encouragement. Jesus comes along and puts his arm around your shoulder and he says, friend. And that's enough, really, that he's there and that he doesn't push you aside and say, you inconsiderate, clumsy oaf, or anything like that. He says, friend. And he encourages you to press on. And for those of us who are teachers and leaders in the church, we need to hear that message. But you know, for all the rest of us, we need to hear it too. Because day by day, as we go back into the world, as we are with our family, as we are in different circumstances of our lives, we are still kingdom people, every one of us. And we are people who are awaiting that glory that will be ours one day. But for even this moment, we are children of God, and we are part of the kingdom. And we just have this great opportunity to serve him in the way that we live our lives every day. So, brothers and sisters, let's not grumble against God, but let's just say thank you today, God, for calling us, for equipping us, and for letting us be a part of this wondrous kingdom. Would you pray that together with me today? Father, as we look at this story here, some of us may be cut into the heart a little bit. Because sometimes we look around at others and think we're doing so much more. We have cause to be rewarded more. And like Peter, we would say, so what's in this for us? But help us all to step back today and to recognize that it is by grace that we have been saved, that it is by grace that we have opportunity to be in the kingdom, that others around us are welcomed into the kingdom by that same grace. There isn't one of us who deserves any blessing from you. But you are this generous God who says, this is what I want to do. And so the same grace that I celebrate in my life is the grace that each person in this room can celebrate in knowing Jesus Christ, in knowing that we have been made a part of the eternal kingdom, in knowing that glory awaits us when we will enter into that heavenly kingdom. And it's not about who we are and what we've done. It's all about what Jesus has done for us. We celebrate the gospel today, that Jesus came into the world, that he died for our sins, that he rose in victory over sin and death so that we too, by faith in him, might rise to new life today and forever. And so we celebrate. So God, we're not here today to grumble. We're here to rejoice and to say thank you. Thank you that you've called us, and thank you that you've blessed us. Thank you that we get to be a part of this wondrous kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.